Hello there, podcast land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Texts can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday to each and every one of you. This is the Behind the Barricade podcast. My name is John O'Connor. Like always, I have Daniel Talib by my side. And we have reached another milestone, another pinnacle, as you can say. We are on episode XXX. I'm talking about triple X rated. Stuff you shouldn't show your mother. We're on episode 30. We're here with the punk rock cowboy himself, Mr. David Christopher. We go over a shit ton of topics, including wrestling, working out, and even having a music video with YouTube celebrity Nicole Arbour. And that's right, you also have Gangsta Boo from the 3-6 Mafia. All on one video, on one song. Crazy. And we're going to play that song for you later on. So before we get into the interview, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for supporting the podcast by listening to it, by subscribing, by liking to us on Facebook, facebook.com/behindthebarricade. Following us on the old Twitter, twitter.com/behindthecade, C-A-D-E. And I think we're still trying to revamp our Instagram, excuse me, and that'd be instagram.com/behindthebarricade. So go there, like us, follow us, love us, pay us. I mean, something. I mean, this really, this, we actually spend a shit ton of money on all of this. All right, I lied there. We don't spend that much, but we do spend a good amount each month bringing you what we think is quality entertainment. And apparently a lot of you do too, because we are almost at 5,000 downloads off of iTunes and off of our service provider Podbean, which big props to them. We've had issues on about two or three other service providers. Podbean made everything simple. We found a new home here. Plus they retweet all of our shit as long as we tag them, so. Big props to them. They're awesome. But without further ado, this is episode number 30, X to the X to the X, with Mr. David Christopher.
Way if you want to see a maniac, a mean motherfucker, how bent on vengeance. Talk this way and get your teeth knocked out, cause I warned you before, now you just started war. I told you this time I'm not playing around, gloves off, shots fired, it's going down. Can't control this rage built up inside, this dog's been unleashed and I'm showing.
Yeah, definitely. What gym day is it? Is it arms, is it legs, what we got?
That's a little full body, man. Full body. I got training today. I do like little kickboxing, martial arts stuff. So I guess a little bit of everything, upper body and cardio.
Nice. Are you into MMA a lot? Do you watch like UFC and stuff like that?
I do, man. I can't really say I followed as much as I used to. But yeah, definitely growing up, I mean, I was in martial arts since I was like 10 years old. Done anything from like karate to kickboxing to boxing to jiu-jitsu, all kinds of stuff.
All right, so you're well-rounded in that respect.
I like to think so. I hope so.
So what do you got going on in the studio tonight?
I'm just finishing up some stuff for my EP, man. Just some last little touches on a certain track, and that way I can just kind of have this thing ready to rock by the end of July. It's going to be coming out at the end of July.
All right, and this is Punk Rock Cowboy, right? I'm sorry, Rise of the Underdog.
Correct, yes, Rise of the Underdog. Yes, sir.
The video is Punk Rock Cowboy featuring YouTuber Nicole Arbour and Gangster Boo of 3-6 Mafia fame.
Correct, yes, correct. Interesting group, man.
Yeah, how did that all come about?
Small world, man. I live in L.A., and, you know, living in L.A., dude, you kind of just bump elbows of people in the industry when you're in it. And I was filming a commercial, actually. I was filming a Snickers commercial, and I ended up... Yeah, I know. Wow. I ended up meeting her boyfriend, who was also on set during the time of the commercial. And long story short, you know, we just kind of started talking music and stuff, man. And we knew a lot of the same people. And I told him that, you know, I'm now doing my solo project, and I'm looking specifically for like a female rapper. You know, I wanted someone that could really just kind of like bring it, and at the same time, people wouldn't really expect to see, you know. And so I just kind of started using that, and he was just like, "Well, hey, dude," he's like, "Why don't you just use my girlfriend?" And I'm like, "Okay, she raps."
She rap,
yeah. He was like, "Yeah, check her out." And he pulls out his phone. And he's like, "Oh, it's Gangsta Boo, 3-6 Mafia." Like, okay.
Yeah, I so think I we're like, gonna use your girlfriend.
Yeah, and I was like, "Yeah, that could work, man. Sure, you know." But yeah, so I was like, "Dude, if she's cool with it, totally." You know what I mean? So, anyway, long story short, he just linked this up, man, and we just kind of hit it off in there. She was super cool and really down to do it. I sent her the track. She liked the track a lot. She liked the idea. I know it was a little something different than what she usually does, so
yeah.
I know she was like so excited about that as well. And so that was cool, man. That was really cool. And then Nicole, also funny, being what the song was about is kind of sarcastic, and at the same time, it's funny. It has a serious message, and I wanted to come off a certain way. You know, I want people to understand that, like, you know, yeah, like I'm goofy and I have fun, but at the same time, too, there is something that's going on in the world that I feel needs to be said, and I figure, you know, Nicole Arbour would be a perfect person to jump on board with that, because one, being a comedian, two, I know she takes a lot of heat, she pisses a lot of people off, but at the same time, I think some of the stuff she said is pretty relevant, and I just figured, what perfect mix to have her and Gangsta Boo on this track, you know? So,
yeah, really.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
So, I reached out to her, man. I didn't know how it would go, or, you know, if she'd even care, and she liked it. She got back to me like right away, and she really dug the track. I was super stoked, man. She was really busy at the time, so we linked up schedules, and she came out here to LA. She's from Canada. She's mm-hmm. Canadian. yeah, and then she came out here. We got and and it was cool, man. We just like we clicked. We had a lot of similar ideas, and the chemistry was just there, dude. We got to hang out, and it was really cool. Now we're really good friends, man. We're stoked about it. I mean, plan to do some more stuff.
Yeah, that'd be awesome to see. Just you're combining two worlds. You're combining the music world with the YouTube world, which a lot of musicians don't take advantage of. I know a few like scene bands are working with Jared Dines, like doing all those little, like the little mock videos of how to be a screamo frontman, how to be a punk frontman, and stuff like that. So now, is there going to be a punk hop how to be a frontman coming soon? Since you basically invented a genre.
I mean, I'm open to it, man. I'm definitely open to it. Yeah, like, I mean, I don't take a... Ah, there you are.
Yeah,
all right.
There you go. Dumb camera.
All right, I mean, I don't take myself too serious in the sense of, like, labels as far as, like, I'm this genre, I'm that, or that. Like, even with, like, the kind of, adding the whole hip-hop influence that I'm doing, I'm not trying to be a rapper. I never will plan to be a rapper. That's, mm-hmm. You know, I come from a band background with punk rock and metal, and I'm no... by no means trying to be a rapper. It's just an influence of mine that I wanted to incorporate what I'm doing now to be different from what I did before. You know, just something I just want to try something different. So I mean, yeah, if there's a video if someone wants to do that, or you know, I'll hop on board and do it. You know, I always have fun making fun of myself. So I keep something, man. I'm down for it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I heard the track Punk Rock Cowboy, and I'm like, okay, so you start off with like a little MC Lars type of vibe, that little, okay, I'm going to do a little fast rapping, kind of fun, nothing too serious. Next thing you know, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, what the hell just happened?
It's very abrupt. It does come, I mean, you don't expect it. It's one of those things, and that's what I wanted. I specifically wanted that. I wanted for people to not really know what's coming, because I feel like a lot of stuff is kind of predictable.
Yeah.
And And if I'm going to do something as crazy as trying to make those two genres and call it a whole different genre, I mean, why not just make it crazy? You know what I mean? So I just, I'm all in, man, and I just try to mix the two sounds. Obviously, my heart's in punk rock, that's where I come from. And at the same time, growing up listening to hip hop, so I'm just like, you know what? Why don't we just combine these two worlds? Let's see what happens with all of it. You know what I mean? And, The chorus I wrote that chorus for like five different times until I just decided to stick with the choruses now. So yeah, it did alter and change quite a bit.
So you say you had a punk rock background. So you were in the band, what was it, Against All Odds, right?
Correct, yes, correct. Yeah, I mean that was fun, man. That was we had a good run. We got to do some touring. We were signed to Soul Music / Elite Music Group, which is under the umbrella of Sony. Okay. So that was cool. That was fun. I got to meet a lot of, like, you know, people that I looked up to growing up playing, actually perform with them. Made a lot of good friends, man. A lot of good memories. Did some really rad shows. Did some really stupid things, but I don't regret any. It was fun, man.
Yeah. Well, this is basically a podcast about concerts and live music and touring and stuff like that. Is there maybe one show, whether it's with Against All Odds or this current project right now, that sticks out in your mind, or something crazy happened, or you open up for someone huge? I mean, you did open up for bands like Escape the Fate and Story of the Year to Cottonmouth Kings. I mean, there's a whole range of bands in between, so.
It was crazy, man. I mean, honestly, there's definitely times where things are crazy. We always have after parties. That was kind of the thing. Kind of got known for a while. We have after parties. So
you're the party band.
Yeah, we became a party band. We did. Right. We definitely didn't lie. We were influenced by, like, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, Avenged Sevenfold, Trey, you know, stuff like that, AFI. And so we did kind of become a party band. And after parties, I mean, anything from, like, doing stupid stuff in hotel rooms, man, you know what I mean? Just like trash in hotel rooms, which you think is cool at the time, but, you know, you realize, man, that was kind of stupid, you know? But yeah, doing stuff like that.
Do a little David Lee Roth.
Yeah, you know, like, just because you can do it, you know what I mean? Like, I remember there was this one show we did. There was a house party we went to after the show. Because that happened a lot. Like, you play a show, you meet people, they invite you over, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we were at this house party, and I remember just, like, we just got so hammered, you know what I mean? And, just totally just, like, just being dumb, just going crazy in the house, trying to wreck these parties. They didn't care. They were, like, partying and doing their thing. But, I mean, little things like that where you just kind of, like, look back at them, it's not really necessary. I mean, like, just throwing stuff all over the place, making a mess, like, the room. And it's
the mattress is in a pool for some strange reason. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, just, yeah. I mean, there's times where, like, dude, like, my band members would be just naked running around the place. And just, you know, it's just, like, it was fun. But, yeah. It's one of those things, man, that it just depends on the situation and the time, and something would always happen. So, yeah, it was fun, though. A lot of fun. I remember one time specifically with Scott from Unwritten Law.
Now, he is a certified rock star.
Yes, dude. I won't say exactly what I saw happen, but it was very interesting. And in the back room, it kind of blew up in his face. Something happened. I mean, to his credit, man, Scott's awesome. He's a really cool dude. And I remember one time we even pranked them. We hopped on their bus one time. I think we were in, like, Bakersfield. And while they were playing, we went on, we stuck in their bus, and we totally just, like, tore up their bus. We had a bunch of our posters and flyers. We put it in their fridges, their beds, their showers. Like, they're good guys, man. But, yeah, there's a specific show I remember. He did something that was particularly stood out to me, and I couldn't believe it, but it's Scott. Scott's awesome. It ended up kind of blowing up in his face later on, and I saw, like, a little bit of drama move down, but it all ended well. We all had a good time, but it was just a little situation. And I was like, okay, this just happened. Like, all right. But, yeah, I mean, I don't want to put him on blast, but, yeah, that was one specific thing in my mind that I remember that he did. It was fun.
And I totally believe you, too. I met him, actually, a few weeks ago. He played over in New York at Webster Hall. We interviewed the opening band there called Suck Brickhead. And we were like, talk to him about opening up for Unwritten Law. He goes, if I could tell you half the shit I've seen. and this is Scott now. Like, Scott 10 years ago was, like, completely off the walls. Scott now is still as crazy.
Now, Scott, man, he's a wild card, man. He lives it up. He has a good time. I mean, and more power to him. You know what I mean? That's Scott, dude. You know, but yeah, man, he's definitely a dude that's always interesting to be around. Like, he doesn't care.
And he's extremely loyal, too. Like, you
very,
once you're a friend of his, you're a friend for life, I hear.
Yes, man, he's a good dude. Nothing but good experiences with the guy, as far as, you know, personally. Yeah, good times, man. That guy is very good. I know that they're going again too. I think they're coming out with a new tour, right? Correct.
Yeah, they just came off tour with Phoenix TX and Suck Brick Kid not too long ago. So I think they're going out again. I'm not too sure when or where, but.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So yeah, that was good times with those dudes. You know?
So I was doing a little bit of research about you, and on your about page, I saw that you consider yourself a punk rock athlete. I mean, you just talked about like going to the gym, but you said in, I believe, your about me section that it's more of like a sanctuary to you. Like maybe describe a little bit about that for like people that are thinking about going to the gym on a regular basis, or, you know, just a little scared about going to the gym, and, or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, man, definitely. I think like the whole punk rock athlete thing kind of came from obviously being a musician, having that background, but always been a gym guy. I've been a gym guy since I was old enough to play sports. You know what I mean? It's not something that, you know, I know now it's super trendy. Everybody's like all about fitness and, you know, cool. It's actually kind of annoying, to be honest. But no, yeah, I've been in the gym, man, since I was like 14 years old. And it's more of like, when I was young, I played sports. And I think at the time, my parents had me playing sports to keep me out of trouble. It's something that I guess like it helped me develop myself in a way to release. Because as I got older, parents divorced, long story short, you know. So I would resort to the gym a lot for things going on in my life. And it became more like an outlet, a release, an escape, much like music.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, when things are tough with music or, you know, writer's block or anything like that, like I'd go to the gym, I'd release. It kind of recenter me, refocus, and then I would be better with music. So by doing that, yeah, the gym for me is more of just like, I don't want to sound cliche and go the way of life, but I mean, for me, it really is, because it just helps me stay grounded, You know, I'll go to the gym, I'll hit the bags, you know, do whatever my session for that day. I just feel relieved after. I also relieve stress, helps me stay centered, obviously get your body in shape. You know what I mean? I'm not a freak. I'm not going to sit there and go, you know, powerless all this weight and see this meathead. You know, if you've been into that, then, you know, that's cool. If you're into that, by all means. Yeah, that's not the kind of guy I am. I'm not that dude that's going to, you know, pour that down your throat all day and eat this gym rod and, you know, pump all this iron.
You're doing 50, me, you can easily do 100. Come on, push it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think, I mean, if that's the kind of guy you are, then go for it, man. You know, do you. Yeah. But yeah, me, I mean, obviously I'm a trainer. I do personal training. Okay. It's one of those things that, like, I tell everybody, it's like, it depends on what you want, what you're going for. I'm not here to tell you this is the only way. This is it. This is where you gotta be. It's like, you know, it's not necessarily about that. It's just about you feeling good and, you know, believing you look good and being healthy. So essentially what it is, just to stay healthy, stay in shape, especially when you get on tour and on that stage, man, you get those stages and you're performing for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour straight and it's hot and you're sweating and that cardio comes in, man. It's definitely a big factor. So I try to, you know, just try to stay sharp, you know, stay in shape.
Hey, that's perfect. I mean, a lot of people let themselves go even out a tour or maybe home from tour, but you found like a healthy balance to incorporate everything into your lifestyle, which is pretty cool. And what else is pretty cool is I saw you were a contestant on Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge.
What the hell
was that like?
Well, I've always had a love for WWE. That's just something, I mean, as a kid, I got into, you know, obviously when you're a kid, you think it's cool, it's wrestling.
I was the same way, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so growing up, obviously, Stone Cold was, you know, big at the time and big influence on me. I thought it was awesome. I remember, because, you know, being in entertainment, I know cast members and stuff, and they'll contact me for shows and things, and they know my background as an athlete. And I got the call, like, hey, we're casting this new show. You know, it's when we take athletes and do these crazy challenges and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, sounds cool.
Yeah,
okay.
Why
you know,
not?
Like,
sounds like the real world a
little
bit.
Yeah, they're like, you know, it was brand new at the time, and they're like, you know, we can't tell you too much about it just yet, you know, the first season, but we'd love to have you come down, you know, meet with us, let's talk about it, blah, 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 doing it on camera. Cool. So I'm like, all right, cool. I went down there, and I was, like, hesitant to it. I almost didn't end up going, and last minute, I was just like, okay, I'm going to go, I'll go. And I ended up going. I went in there, and I remember walking in, they had, like, I think it was, like, a teaser sample of the show, and it was, like, playing in the lobby. It was just, like, crazy, like, barbaric looking dudes out in the desert, like battling each other. And like, wait a second, like, do I really want to do this? You know, like, what is this? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see something fully nothing. I'm just like sitting there, I'm like, okay, that looks crazy. But then the other side of me, you know, that competitive side is like, but that's kind of awesome though. Like, gotta do this. You know what I mean? Like, this is so gnarly.
So it's like American gladiators meeting like Roman gladiators. Like,
yeah,
you first saw it, yeah.
So I was like, part of me was just kind of like scared like a little girl. And then, like, the other part of me was like, dude, you gotta do this. You gotta try this, man. You know what I mean? So, went in there, did the interview. Obviously, it went well. Interviewed the producers again. Went good. Next thing I know, I get the call. They're like, we need you here in this location way in DFE. They had, like, a hotel where we're staying. And long story short, came in there. And, you know, on the show, you know what I mean? And I go, I don't get to see any of the competition. I don't know where we're going. Nothing. Nothing. I just know I'm going to some crazy battle the next day doing God knows what. You know? So, yeah, it was nerve-wracking, man. Needless to say, I didn't sleep too much that night. I don't think any of us did actually talk to the cast. But after, you know, we filmed and it was fun. I'm a little, like, upset with my performance. And that's also what helped me realize what I need to do fitness-wise, how to, like, better, you know, just progress my body. And I changed up my training ever since then. And but, yeah, just because certain things, I mean, I ended up hurting my knee, unfortunately. There's, I mean, you can't really see it on the show, but there's a scene where I picked up my opponent, and I went to slam him back. And when I pulled him back, I didn't get the full rotation, and his body weight and my knee, like, pulled it under, and his body weight went on my knee.
Okay.
Instantly, dude. It was, like, horrible pain. Like, it was just like, as soon as it happened, like, it just felt like a sharp sting in my knee. My knee felt super, super numb. And I remember trying to hold on, but at the same time, inside, I'm just like, oh my God. You know, and I tried to roll up and get up and keep my knee. It just felt so numb. You know, I'm just trying. I kept trying to go, but at that point, I knew, I'm like, man, like, dude, I'm done, you know. So, my knee was pretty swollen. I had to get it checked out. I iced it, relaxed it. You know, it ended up being better. I was out for like probably a good week and a half. You know, there's good guys out there, some tough competitors. It was fun. I would do it again in a heartbeat. I've actually done some of the you know, producers call me now. I'll do some of the tests, of course. I'll test up courses for me and go out there and, you know,
be the guinea pig. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's fun, man. It keeps me on my toes, you know. And I got to meet Stone Cold, which is super cool. And
I hear he's a good guy. I haven't met him yet, but I hear that he could talk your ear off and make you laugh.
He can, man. He's got a very intimidating presence. And I remember, like, all those cast members, you know, we're all up there, like, hyped up, chest up, ready, like, you know, we're going to be, but Stone Cold gets out of that truck, and you can see all those, like, just, like, little schoolgirls, like, in awe, you know what I mean? It's just kind of, like, intimidating, like, it's Stone Cold, you know what I mean? You know, he's very broad and big, and, but yeah, man, he's super cool off camera, we're conversating, he's kind of shooting the shit with us, man, and it's good. He told stories about his Bronco, how he brought that Bronco from, like, a neighbor, and tell us, you know, like, all kinds of different things. Just one of those things that, like, you wouldn't expect from someone so, like, bigger than life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, his character's, but he's just such a cool guy, you know what I mean? Like, down to earth, genuine, nice, which you wouldn't expect from him to be so nice and polite, but he is, man. So, it was really cool. Funny experience.
I think the one thing I'd ask him was about the messed up pile driver that screwed up his neck against Owen Hart at SummerSlam 97.
Right, right.
I know
That's
he still
true.
Has bitter
That's
feelings
true.
About that, but I'd love to know what just
happened.
Yeah,
I remember hearing him, like, I think it was an interview I saw, he was talking about something that, you know, his career was kind of cut short a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't want to dive into that. And at the moment, you know, we're kind of all on the show and, you know what I mean, focused on that kind of thing. But, yeah, there's you know, if I can talk to him again, there's definitely some more questions. I'd love to chat with you guys. I'd love to pick his brain, you know. It's so cool, man. You know, you can talk to that guy for but, yeah, man, it was cool. One of those things that I'll never forget, you know.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. So if music doesn't work out for whatever reason, is there a possible future in wrestling?
I want to say possibly. I do want to say possibly.
Putting you on the spot a little bit, I know.
A little bit, yeah. There's things I'm pursuing outside. I don't want to say too much because who knows where they'll go or what will happen, but there is other options that I'm looking into as well. Correct, yes.
Okay. All right. Might just have to bring you back for a part two once it happened.
I got to meet Paige not too long ago.
Really?
Paige.
Wow.
Yeah, that was interesting.
What happened
really
there?
Cool. Just We partied. We were at, you know, buddies of mine were doing like a little gathering at one of our, you know, bars we go to out here, kind of doing like a little get together gathering. Mm-hmm. We're hanging out for four. She's friends with a lot of the same friends, and we all just got to hang out. And she actually did off really well with my girlfriend. Come to find out.
Wait a second. I think I'm losing you. Hold up. I think I'm losing you. I can't hear you. I think we lost each other there.
Okay. Can you see me?
Not yet. Hold on.
Okay.
No. It's not a big deal. It's not like a Skype video. It's just like it's going to be an audio.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so whatever works out. So anyways, the last thing I heard was Paige and your girlfriend were getting along.
Yeah. They just kind of hit it off, man. It was really random. That was kind of funny. But yeah, they became really good friends, man. And it's one of those things that everything just, it's funny how they worked out. Everything just kind of worked out. We had a good night and it was fun because, you know, I looked at Paige when I, you know, seen her first coming to WWE, and I really took a liking to her, and I liked her style and her image and everything. And it was just ironic that, I got to bump shoulders with her and meet her. So it was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I still don't understand, like, the whole, like, Total Divas thing and who she's going out with. Like, she bounced around from Bradley, from Emma Rosa, and then apparently she was, what was she, engaged to Kevin Scaff of A Day to Remember, and now she's going out with Del Rio. I'm still lost.
I don't want to say. I know who she was dating, at least who I saw her dating at the time and who she was with that night, but I'm not going to speak on her behalf. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't. That's her life, her business. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to speak on her behalf, you know.
I do not blame you there, but yeah. I don't know. I just find it weird, the whole like Total Divas. They're trying to do like the reality show, even though it's like scripted. But even wrestling is scripted. So I mean, like, what's true, what's false? It's kind of weird.
It does kind of blur the lines a little bit. It definitely does. And it is hard to make out what's real and what's fake sometimes. But I mean, maybe that's also part of the intrigue of the show. You know what I mean? Maybe that's kind of, maybe they do that on purpose in a sense.
I guess so.
I don't know. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, again, like, I don't know. I don't want to say anything that, you know, it's not my place to say, but, yeah, it's definitely an interesting show. I do like the show. I watched the show. It's something that I think also is very beneficial for the wrestler, especially with the roster, because they don't get too much time on TV. So I think having this show definitely helps them out a lot.
Yeah, and you're still interested in the new product that's going on right now, right? The current product of WWE.
Definitely, I think more so now than I have been probably in a long time. I like the new change that they're trying to do, bringing in new guys, making it more interesting. I feel like they're kind of trying to tap into that Attitude Era again a little bit. I feel like they're trying to do something like that. You know, I'm going to be honest, like, it's not what it used to be. I'm not as big a fan as I was. But I mean, I'm loyal, and I think I'll always be a fan of the WWE. But I think more so now, it's getting more exciting again. Like, I'm seeing a lot more talent, a little more charisma and characters with these guys. I think they're going for it a little more now. I think for a while there, it was getting kind of dull.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, I think they're bringing in a lot of new guys now, man. I think, you know, like, I'm a fan of Dean Ambrose. I love his style, his character. I think he plays it very well. He's probably one of my favorites right now. You got, I mean, obviously they brought in AJ Styles, which is, he's a very, you know, obviously very talented guy. And
He's basically the top wrestler that wasn't in WWE for a while. And to bring him in is crazy.
Yes, it's crazy, man. It's really crazy. And I mean, like I said, I think it's cool, though. I think it's really cool. I think it stirs things up a bit. I mean, he's obviously very talented. It's something that I think, yeah, I think that's awesome. So I think you need that in there. You need to see that, especially now. I think, you know, it needs something new, something fresh. And I think that's what they're trying to do. So it's getting more exciting again. Yeah, but I mean, my all-time favorite's good old HBK, Shawn Michaels, man. So he's gone. So
the Heartbreak Kid, yeah.
They're my favorite, man. So, but you know, he's been gone for a while, so I don't think I'm ever gonna have that same love, and unless he's on there, you know.
That's true, but he does come back for random WrestleMania moments. Like, he was there, what was it, last year when Triple H faced off against Sting, or 2 years ago, whatever it was. So he's been around.
Yeah, that's the thing. He does pop in every now and then. I love it. I'm like a little kid again. I get excited. I'm like, but yeah, man. So yeah, that's the cool thing about it. I love seeing when he comes back. I love when, you know, especially like Stone Cold or The Rock, he'd even make their appearances again. But yeah, and I think that's cool that they still do that, man. That's definitely, it keeps it exciting.
Yeah, definitely have those WrestleMania moments, but
sure.
Hey, you never know. Punk Rock Cowboy could be the theme for the upcoming Survivor Series. You never know.
Definitely. I mean, I'm focused on my LP. You know, I'm going to do some touring and then focus on writing my full length. And yes, I would love to do something with WWE. I would love to have my music featured on, you know, even just one of their promos. So yeah, there's definitely things I'm interested in doing and trying to channel.
Yeah, definitely. And you just mentioned touring. Are you going to come out to the East Coast at all, or are you going to stick solely to the West Coast for now? But
I'm going to do a small run this summer, more West Coast, and then I'd love to dabble over in the East Coast again and get out that way. Like I said, it's going to be just a small run over this summer, still working on the full length, mm-hmm. and then, yeah, touring in between towards the end where I want to try to get out to the East Coast. Definitely love to head back out that way.
Yeah, that'd be awesome to come see you and just see what this whole thing looks like live. Because, I mean, like, I've heard a few songs, and I'm like, okay, how is this going to translate well live? And I think you have a way to pull things off.
Yeah, trust me, I've had this question since I've even started doing it, and I still even have this question sometimes. But fortunately, I'm friends with a lot of band guys, being in bands, and I have, you know, support. And I've had plenty of my buddies saying, hey, man, I'd love to, you know, I'm going to have a band live, obviously. I'm going to have that full sound. And then, of course, you know, you got to use tracks. I'm a solo artist, so I'll have some tracks as well, mm-hmm. full band. I'll make it work. You know, I'll make it work. I'm nervous, but excited at the same time.
Yeah. So if, let's say, for this upcoming LP, you were given one person to collaborate with, who would it be?
Oh, man, that's tough.
Any one of your choosing. Has to be alive, though. Let's be honest. No dead person's going to.
Okay. Oh, that's so tough, man. That is so tough. Sheesh, because that even goes from, like, producers to music. Ah, man, that's a hard one. Gosh, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can pinpoint just one. I mean, I think, maybe on a producer level, maybe, like, Rick Rubin. That would be rad, man. His style is just so genius. He's worked with a lot of rad bands that obviously just influenced me. So I think he would definitely, like, help my sound evolve. As far as a musician level, man, that's hard, dude. Yeah. That's hard, man. I mean, I love anywhere from, like, I mean, Blink's the reason why I ever started playing guitar and playing music, Blink-182, so maybe, like, Travis or Mark or Billy from Green Day. Gosh, I mean, there's just so many. I mean, yeah, that's hard to pinpoint, man, but definitely one of those top three guys for sure, but the list goes on.
I love how you decided to omit Tom's name.
I mean, no, dude, I love Tom too, man. I mean, obviously original Blink, Scott, Tom, and Mark, but I mean,
yep.
Blink to Travis, Tom, and Mark, and that's one of those things. I think together they're just something special, and I love Skiba too. I love what they do now with Matt. I'm an Alkaline fan, but yeah, I mean, Tom's a whole, he's got his whole thing going on. He's a little bit different, you know what I mean?
He's definitely out there, especially with Angels and Airwaves and, like, his new, I think he's an author for, like, some space comic or some space novels now. It's really crazy, but the guy doesn't stop.
He doesn't, man. He keeps going, and it boggles my mind, because just when you think you might have the guy figured out, it's just like he throws a wrench at you, and you're just like, what is this guy doing? What is he into? Like, it's just, yeah, he's out there, man. But I mean, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, he's evolved. Obviously, he's grown as a person. He's doing his thing, and it's one of those things that, yeah, you gotta be who you are, and obviously, you know, he's doing well, so. You know, more power to him, man. But yeah, I think he's a genius songwriter. He's very, very catchy, and I love his lyrical content. He's probably one of my favorite writers. I love how he just tells a story with a lot of his songs. So it's something I look up to him as a writer, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And in this business, as you know, you got to keep changing. You got to keep evolving. You can't keep doing the same Correct. Sound over and over again. So
exactly. And that's why I'm doing the project I'm doing now. I just feel. There needs to be something new, something fresh. And the way music's gone today, I just feel like it's become so just, like, it's just the same old thing. And I feel like it's lacking a lot of substance. It's not honest. And I feel like anybody feels like they can do it now, which, I mean, you can. But, I mean, at least make it real, you know, and honest, you know. And I just feel like people are just kind of just ripping each other off because they found something that works. And it's just kind of becoming generic and I don't know. It's just not real to me. It's just. Becomes garbage, in my opinion. So I just want to do something that hopefully at least if even if you're not a fan of my music, at least you can appreciate that I'm trying to do something real and honest and put a good message out there, you know?
No, absolutely. I mean, like, even in those two genres, in like the punk genre, punk like rock genre, and even the hip hop genre, it's becoming all stale, like the mainstream stuff. I mean, like, you listen to mainstream rap half the time, you're like, what in the hell is this guy even saying?
That's so true, man. That's so true. I was having this conversation with a friend just last week, and it's just, I don't know, it blows my mind. And a lot of these kids too, they buy into it, and it's weird. Like, I mean, it's obviously working, but at the same time, it sucks because I feel like these kids are being cheated of, you know, what like real music is, I guess, quote unquote. I don't know. You know what I mean? But I mean, you know, it's the way the world is now. You know what I mean? It's just, you got to roll with it. But I just hope to bring something different and fresh, and hopefully bring something, I don't want to say necessarily old school, but something from that time, something that, you know, meant a little bit more, you know. And I'm not trying to knock artists nowadays, but I'm just saying that I think we could do something a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it became very disingenuous. That's the whole problem. Yeah.
Yes, completely. And a lot of it too, it's just like, you're trying to write funny words for a catchy hook just to, you know, make money.
And the prime example would be, what's that song? I think it was called Panda by Designer.
Yeah.
I don't understand. What the hell is that even about?
That song is so popular right now, and I don't get it either. I don't get it. And again, like, I'm not going to knock the person or
No. You know, I mean, they're doing something right. I mean, more power to them. But
yeah.
What?
Exactly. Yes, I personally don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know, man. These kids are buying into it. They're digging it, and I just it blows my mind, man. But at the same time, to each their own. You know, it's same thing with like that song Stanky Leg or whatever, however that song goes on.
Oh, the whip and the nay nay.
Yeah, like even that, it's kind of like, what is that? You know what I mean? But that became huge too, and it's just, I don't know, man. It's just I guess understanding the audience, and people are, you know, they're buying into it. So we're just in a time now where I think we have, like, I don't know, man. It's just, I don't want to say maybe similar minds nowadays, but I think it's just I don't know.
I don't know either. Hard. But actually, I have a quick story about whipping and nay-naying. So I frequent the website World Star Hip Hop a lot. I think like some of the videos on there are just like hysterical. And I actually got my girlfriend hooked to the Vine Comps, which is a compilation of all like the best vines of like the week or every 2 weeks, whatever they do. So anyways, you know, we saw a lot of whipping and nay-naying like before it got like really, really popular. And we're like, we still don't know what the hell it means and, you know, stuff like that. We were at a Yankee game, I think maybe a month ago. And during the national anthem, my girlfriend's like bugging me. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? It's supposed to be a quiet moment. She goes, look up there. Is that kid nay-naying during the national anthem? I go, no. You fucking lost it. I look up and I see a kid actually doing the nay-nay during the national anthem. I just lost hope for humanity.
And that's my point. That's it. That's what our youth is coming to today. You know what I mean? That's what it's about. And I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think it sucks, you know?
Absolutely. So yeah.
I'm definitely rooting for, you know, a whole new wave to come in. I'm hoping that, you know, and I know they're out there. I know those musicians are out there that have something real to say, and I'm rooting for them. And that's, I'm trying to do that myself. So hopefully I can bring that about and be, if not the person that kickstarts, at least one of the people part of it, you know? So that's what I'm trying to do.
I hear you there, man. But anyways, let me wrap this up. I know you got the gym and I know you got the studio, so you're a busy man. So let's see. We're talking with David Christopher right now. You could go on to imdavidchristopher.com, your website. He's on Instagram, right? DavidPunkRockChristopher, Facebook.com/DavidChristopherMusic, and Twitter is DPRChristopher. So
that's right.
Yep. You got your new EP coming out, Rise of the Underdog, next month. And you could check out Punk Rock Cowboy featuring YouTuber Nicole Arbor and Gangsta Boo of 3-6 Mafia fame on your website and on your YouTube. So,
yes, sir. And thank you so much, John. I appreciate chatting with you, man. It was fun. And, you know, I look forward to hopefully talking with you again, man.
Yeah, man, if you're ever out on the East Coast, whenever you are, let me know. We'll come on out. We'll party. Not Scott style, but we'll party.
We'll try, man.
Damn right, man. All right, Dave, thank you so much, man.
All right, John. Thank you, man.
All right, later.
All right, later.
Never listen when they try to tell me I was through. So I'ma make it on my own, so I'm saying fuck you. I don't need a band, cause I made it to the front, man. Playing it solo, changed up my flow. They call me punk rock, now add a little hip hop. Rhythm and blues and a soul that's been tattooed. Just a man on a mission, nothing left to lose. I'm so prone on my own, this music thing is all I know. So I put it down on this paper with a pen. Success on my mind and getting my revenge. Freaking jealous haters try to sabotage and sleep on me. But I'm like a nightmare, I'm coming like Freddy. Celebrity just because you post half naked on Instagram. I don't care how many followers you have. Goddamn girl, you're so goddamn pretty. Fake lips, nose job, fat in that booty. Thanks to plastic surgery, we're hiding insecurities. Living in a time when superficial's normalcy. Bible of the rich and online, we're celebrities. And even the election's reality TV. But this trumps all, so listen up, y'all. America's no longer indivisible. I guess I'm not cool cause I believe in God. I salute the flag, but the government's fraud. Those crooked in blue, those crooked people too. So I just mind my own and do what I do.
It's time to make it motherfucking rain on these haters.
Let's do it.
Hey, you can't say that, but I just did. Don't care what they chirping, cause this mouthy hero's coming in. Reporters make up lies, fairy tales, vilification. Try to shut me up, you got another thing coming, cause I don't care, PC's just about pleasing. Truth's always in style, ain't no winter in this season. If we stop speaking our minds, we're just a number, my dear. Like we learned in Tetris, stand out or disappear. Scared of repercussions, a world living in fear. I'll be yelling, fuck you, go team, bitch, I'm here. When the trolls coming at you, throw up deuces.
Some medication getting lifted. When I'm in LA, I'm on some Valley Girl shit. I don't really speak.